Welcome back to episode 2 of Lisa Hendy and Friends. Thanks so much for tuning in and for all your great feedback from last week. I want to thank my friends over at Breadbox Media for this warm welcome to the network, and to producer Alex and everybody making it happen, and to you for tuning in. However you found us, whether it was on Podbean or over at iTunes or on Breadbox Media or at lisahendy.com, I welcome you back to this conversation. I want you to be a part of the show, and I loved getting your feedback from last week and hearing from you about what you enjoyed and what you want to hear more of. So keep that coming. You can drop an email to lisahendy@gmail.com or just tag me on social media at Lisa Hendy. This week, I thought I'd shake things up a little bit and move things around and shift the ingredients and the recipe. And I think I'm going to jump off this week with that segment called On the Screen. So let's take a look this week at what I'm watching. So the first segment that I want to share with you this week is actually related to kind of a, I don't want to call it like reality movie, but it's a movie kind of ripped from the headlines. This is a movie 1517 to Paris, and it's fresh on my mind. Well, I cannot yet give a formal review of it because I'm still under embargo. I'm allowed to share with you that last week I had a really great telephone conversation with the three young men who are really responsible for this story: specialist Alex Skarlatos, Anthony Sadler, and Airman Spencer Stone. Were three young men who grew up as childhood friends and who were on that train to Paris that fateful summer afternoon in 2018 when a terrorist attack occurred, and the three of them worked together to thwart that attack. And interestingly, what was originally a book is now being made into a movie, which will launch in early February. And the film is being directed by Clint Eastwood. Now, not only are these three childhood friends and heroes the heroes behind the story, but they're actually now the actors who star in the 1517 to Paris. So I thought it would be kind of interesting to share with you Clint Eastwood's perspective on why he cast those three in this particular role. This is, again, an advance of my review, and this is actually pulled from IMDb. You can find this over at YouTube. I'll link to the YouTube video in the show notes. So here's Clint Eastwood on why that decision to star these three young men in the film.
This hasn't been a conscious choice to make movies about heroes. It's not the common man. Three guys that grew up together put in a position to act quickly. I thought that feat was rather interesting. I came along and inspired people. I've done a lot of pictures. So over a period of years of working with actors, working with non-actors, I kind of got a feeling of what would work. I kept looking at the guys, and finally one day I just said, "Do you guys think you could play yourself?" Once we started down that path, it just seemed like one thing led to another. We got the man who was shot and his wife, all the first responders. So many of the people in the finale are back. It was their experience. I mean, I knew what I wanted to shoot, but the adventure was for real. It was their story because it was real life.
"1517 to Paris" will be out in theaters on February 9th, and you can watch for my review coming next week over at lisahendy.com and on social media. Again, that's 1517 to Paris, and really a movie that you're going to want to get out to because it will inspire you, and won't say anything more, but watch for more coming soon. The second film I'm also not able to review yet, and that's because I actually haven't seen it yet, but the screener is sitting in my box, and as soon as I get finished with my homework of recording the episode today, I'll be sitting down to watch a screener of Samson. This is actually coming out on February 16th. It's a film that actually comes from PureFlix, which is the producer of films like God Is Not Dead. And Samson, again, is based on that biblical story that most of us know. We know the story of Samson from the Old Testament. We know about his hair and Delilah and the cutting of the hair. But this trailer tells us a little bit more about what's going on in the rest of that movie. So here's a little sneak peek at the film Samson.
Remember their prophecy. Samson chosen by the living God to be his hand of vengeance. It's his will.
But it is not mine.
Who is this God who gives you such strength?
Three vows were bestowed upon me. No wine, no touching the dead, no cutting of my hair.
There are whispers of a Hebrew with great strength. It is a story for slaves, nothing more.
I want you to investigate this.
You find me the secret of his power.
My Delilah.
Well, if you wanted to fight, you should have brought more men.
I want him dead.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
He is not a god!
Samson, the Philistines are upon you.
My strength is now your strength.
No! What you have me do?
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
So that's Samson, which will be out on February 16th of 2018. You know, it makes me want to go back to my Bible because I have to say that I don't think I've read the story of Samson lately. It's kind of cool when you've got these films that have their basis in either history, like the 1517 to Paris, or in the Bible, to kind of go back to the source material. So that's what's on my screen. I'm going to be sitting down to watch that this afternoon. And again, I'll have reviews of both of those films coming soon at lisahendy.com. What's on your screen? I want to know what you're watching. I need some good recommendations for programs that I can watch while working out. Greg and I just got a new elliptical trainer, and so I need some things that can be broken down into like 30 to 45 minute segments. So give me your feedback. What are you watching? What should I be watching? I can do Netflix. I can do iTunes. I can do Amazon. So what's on your screen? Let me know what you're watching. Next up in the podcast today, we've got a conversation with, I'm going to call him a new friend. He's not somebody that I've ever known before, but after talking today with Kenton Kniepman, I'm pretty sure that it's not the last time that he and I are going to talk. So I'm really happy now to share my conversation with Ken and to invite you to check out the book that we discuss and to join me in getting ready for some Lenten preparations with Ken Kniepman. Here he is. So next up today, I'm happy to bring to the podcast a new friend. Ken Kniepman is a Catholic speaker, writer, and a former executive director of the John Paul II Healing Center down in Tallahassee, Florida, where he continues to serve in a variety of organizational ministry capacities. Ken's extensive ministry experience went into the writing of a great new book from Ave Maria Press that we're here to talk about today, Lenten Healing. Welcome to Lisa Hendy and Friends, Ken.
Well, thanks for having me, Lisa. That's probably one of the most edifying introductions I've received. So thank you for all those kind words.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled to connect. And, you know, I have to share that I was actually, I freelance part-time for Ave Maria Press. So I was happy to chat with you today because I was part of the acquisition decision on this particular book. And I think it's really perfectly timed for us to be having this conversation today. Lots of people will look at February 14th and remember that it's Valentine's Day, but guess what? There's more. It's also Ash Wednesday. So your book, Lenten Healing, the subtitle of this book is 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin. Who doesn't want that? So Ken, before we dive into the book, tell us a little bit more about yourself and then in the non-professional bio.
Well, in a non-professional bio, I'm a lifelong Catholic, and I'm probably your prototypical, I'm the card-carrying kind of a Catholic grade school, actually high school seminary, Jesuit university, really involved in just a lot of things over the course of my life. And that doesn't make me a saint or particularly holy, because I'm just like everybody else, I'm trying to make my way. But I've had the opportunity to have good formation along the way. I'm married, been married for 28, going on 29 years. I have two children, both adopted, and I've been associated with the John Paul II Healing Center for the better part of a decade. And prior to that, I was just involved in a variety of ministries and retreat programs, and always enjoyed studying apologetics. So that's kind of a quick personal bio on me, I guess.
So this book, tell me a little bit more about how this came up and what readers are going to find when they dive into Lenten healing.
Well, one of the things that how this came up is one has been in association with my just the work I've done and what the work the center does here, which is really realizing if we just kind of step back from things for a moment to really attempt to simplify and demystify a couple of things. And part of what happens is we look at sin and we kind of get all tangled up in it. We get emotionally tangled up in condemnation and sometimes even in theology itself. And what I did is just try to take a step back from that and say, let's just say sin is like fruit. It's like an apple that grows on a tree. And because one of the things that I see people struggle with and we see in the ministry people struggle with is repetitive sin. And I think we all have repetitive sin in our lives. And those are areas where our lives, our emotions, our beliefs are not in agreement with the truth of God. And so there's access for the enemy to be in there. And then our sin actually results from those faulty beliefs and emotions. And so what happens in my life is I go to confession, I pick all the apples off my tree, and I go back out, and then I find myself in the same situation St. Paul was in when he said, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And you can even hear almost the frustration in St. Paul when he says that. And we all do that, I think. And when we step back from that, we can realize that my sin in many respects is just, it's a fruit of a root. It's a fruit. It grows on something. And the things that it grows on in my life are the things that underlie that. They're those beliefs, those things I believe about myself, I believe about God, I believe about others that are negative, they're self-destructive. And so I act out of those beliefs instead of out of truth.
Yeah. I was thinking about how sometimes my fruit has bruises on it. The apple that looks really beautiful when I pick it up at the store has a bruise, and my soul can be that way too. It can look on the outside like everything's okay, and yet on the inside there's a deep bruise.
Right. There's a deep root of something that's just not. Because people live their lives, we all live our lives. We don't live our lives actually out of truth. What we live our lives out of, what we act out of, is belief. And so if my beliefs are not aligned with truth, then the outcomes that I'm going to get from those beliefs are just not going to be good outcomes.
So let's talk about outcomes for a minute. The way that the book is lined up is actually in kind of a week by week, really a retreat that you can make. And I hesitate to even say this is a Lenten book. It's perfect for Lent, but really for any 40-day or 40-segment period in your life. You kind of take us through a period of weeks where you look at one of the seven deadlies, right? And then kind of contrasting kind of ingredients that go into what makes us act in those ways. So talk a little bit more about how the book is set up.
So you can really, I really set this book up. And I encourage people, you can pick this book up anytime and use it, and it can be fruitful in your life. I do encourage people to, if they're going to start outside the Lenten season, start on a Wednesday. And that way the days, because there is a flow in the weeks, and that way your weeks really stay in sync with the calendar. And so it's just really helpful to do in that format. And in that 40-day period, there are seven parts of 7 weeks, and we have seven deadly sins. And there are some particular hurts that people have that line up with those seven deadly sins. And so I can look at my sin, and I can actually say, well, what's the thing that lies under that? For example, we talk about pride a lot. And one of the seven deadly sins in one of the weeks is around pride. But we take a deeper look at pride, too, because it's not just about pride. And we'll start pride on Monday. But then there's some variations on pride, because pride's not always just this big, bombastic, ego-driven kind of thing that we think about. Pride, there are subtler kinds of pride, self-reliance, self-promotion, even some narcissistic behaviors. Those are all subtle forms of pridefulness. And what they're all connected to underneath is really this belief that I have to take care of myself, that I'm alone in the world, that if it's going to be, it's up to me. And that's the woundedness, because that's really a projection that we have. It's a belief in our lives that I'm all alone, including before God, that God is not really my friend, that he's not really in it with me. And so I'm alone. And so then we unpack that. So we look at these forms of pride, then we're going to unpack some of these beliefs around aloneness. And then we're going to give that to the Lord on Fridays. There's a special prayer exercise in the Friday just to invite God to kind of speak into that. And then, of course, when we get to Sunday, Sunday's always a feast day, even in Lent. And so we're just going to feast on the contrary virtue and just accept the goodness of God in that Sunday, because really the Christian journey is not to the cross. The Christian journey is to the resurrection. And so we even know that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And so we should enter into these times of purification, of trying to free ourselves from sin. And there's some hardship in that, with an expectant joy of the freedom and the resurrection in our own personal lives that we're going to see on the other side of that.
So let's take a step back for a minute for people that maybe aren't as been Catholic as long, or even Christian, or they're just wandering by here in the podcast. We talk about the seven deadly sins and the seven contrasting virtues. I think it's good to kind of put a name to those seven sins so people know what it is that they're being freed from. You want to list them for us?
Sure. I'd be happy to list them for you. Those seven deadly sins are sloth, pride, envy, greed, gluttony, anger, and lust. And so when we look at our lives, those are those seven deadly sins.
Awesome. I feel like, oh my gosh, I could just take this book right into the confessional with me and be like, yep, did that one. not to be lighthearted about this, but one of the things that I was relieved to see in this book, first of all, because kind of form factor, that it's actually a book that would tuck easily into your purse or your backpack or your briefcase or whatever. And the retreat format each day. So we all go into Lent with sort of these really great intentions to, you know, every day I'm going to pray more and I'm going to be fasting and I'm going to be almsgiving. And then by sort of like the first Monday after Ash Wednesday, we've kind of made some compromises to our Lenten devotions that we set up. But this particular book, while it's very deep, also is not, I think, is something that people could do on a manageable basis. How are the day retreats set up each day?
Well, every day is set up. It just has a short reflection on whatever we're talking about that day, and so there's just a quick overview. Then there's a couple of scripture citations, maybe a catechism citation, an opportunity with just a couple of questions, just to stop and reflect, even if it's just for a minute or two, and then there's a prayer. There's just a prayer where we just give it to God, and maybe there's a couple of things in that that I need to just speak out loud and just renounce these negative things in my life, because there's a power in just speaking in the spoken word. And so every day just is very simple, and really you can be through a day in as little as 5 minutes, or you could really spend an hour or two really journaling more deeply into some of the questions if that's what your desire is. So it really has the ability to move and work with your schedule, but it does give a format. It gives a rhythm to the entire season that helps you just kind of stay in it.
I think as someone who kind of tries to set aside a period of time each morning to start my day in prayer, this is something that'll fit really beautifully into my Lent. I'm really excited to pray with it this Lent and to be sharing it with other people. And I think that the things that you mentioned, that these questions, you know, they're things that can be answered quickly or things that we can dive in more deeply with. I could even see this being a book that you pass through, you know, multiple times, that maybe you do it once this Lenten season, you know, as part of your Lenten prayers, but then that you revisit again. Now, if people kind of want to dive in more deeply to work that's being done at the John Paul II Center, how can this book kind of be a launching off place for that?
Well, this book actually creates a really good framework for a lot of what we do here. If you haven't, for those who haven't, don't have any experience with the ministry, is because it's a lot of what the healing work we do is really about, is helping people work through the difficult hurts. We live in a broken world, and so we've all been traumatized in some way or another by this world, either by something that's been done to us or a good that we haven't received. Each of those are a kind of trauma and hurt, and a large part of the work of the center is really to help people begin to not only see those things, but to be able to encounter God in a way in their lives, in a very personal, intimate way, where he can speak to that hurt. And as God speaks truth into that, then that's where healing takes place, because we know that that part of God's nature, is part of who he is that he's the healer. And so any encounter with God always brings healing. And so when we just are able to bring those things to him and then encounter him really in the midst of that, then healing does occur. And a lot of our conferences, those are really the kinds of things that we're doing. And we're just helping people really move in a way that lets them hear from God and encounter him in some of their hurts and pains.
Well, it's a beautiful resource. Again, friends, the title of this book is Lenten Healing, the subtitle 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin. And our guest today has been author Ken Kniepman. And in the show notes over at the website, we'll have links for how you can get a hold of this book, how you can learn more about Ken and the work that he's doing. Ken, any final words before we let you get on to the work of the center and your work for the day?
I think my final word, just that I want to leave you with, is that there's a certain sense that we can sometimes get about Lent of, oh gosh, here we go, you know, ashes on my forehead and, you know, and all of this. And really the ancient meaning of the word Lent is springtime. And that Lent is really designed to be a time in the desert, because time in the desert is what forges strength in us. And it's what purifies us, and it really makes us capable and really prepares us for that season of resurrection, for that season of greater freedom. And so really Lent is a season to really be excited about, if I think we're following, if we're really following God's heart in it, because it's an opportunity for us to move closer to him. And that should be an opportunity for us to experience more joy, more hope, more faith in God.
Well, Ken, I want to thank you in advance for the journey that I know I'm going to be taking with you this Lenten season. Maybe I can have you back afterwards for just a couple minutes to kind of like rehash my experience of praying my way through your book and all the great graces that I know are going to come with it. Where can people get a hold of you online if they want to learn more?
Well, they can certainly reach they can just send me an email. They can just come to the John Paul II Healing Center. The website is jpiihealingcenter.org, and they can just drop an email there. You can also buy a signed copy of my book from our website, as well as obviously buy from Amazon or Ave Maria Press. And I'd be happy to respond to those emails, and certainly, you know, I would encourage people to take a look at some of the events that we're doing around the country, just see if some of those are speak to a need that they have in their lives, and then to just go from there.
Well, friends, let's head into the desert with Ken Kniepman and Lenten Healing. God bless, Ken.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks again to Ken for that great kind of encouragement about how to take off on our Lenten healing with a beautiful Lenten retreat and 40 days to set ourselves free from sin. I'll have all the information over in our show notes on how you can get a hold of Ken's book, and definitely check it out. I think you're really going to enjoy the format of it for your Lenten journey. Now, speaking of books, I've got three new entries on my bookshelf, and I want to tell you something to make this easy for you. I actually set up a little page over at Amazon. I'll have one link in my show notes so you can go to find all the books that I talk about on the podcast and get a hold of those. This week, I've got three new ones, and they're three really good ones. The first one, actually, I'm going to be featuring on the podcast very soon, but I thought I'd give you a little heads up because the topic is just, it's really important. And this book is called The Tech Talk, Strategies for Families in a Digital World. This comes from Michael Horn and also from Our Sunday Visitor. It's kind of cute in the back of the book, like in that section where they talk about what the book's about. It has it like in kind of almost like in texting format. So it says, have you had, quote, the tech talk with your children? And then the next text box says, does the mere mention of it cause you to shudder? We think it's important, but for many parents, it's almost as uncomfortable as the other talk we dread, so we avoid it. So anyway, author Michael Horn, hope to have him on the show very soon, but he's put this book together that talks all about, you know, use of technology in our homes, both what's positive and what's negative about it. And he gives kind of practical strategies for living in today's digital world. So check it out, The Tech Talk, and do hope to have Michael here on the show very soon. The second new book on my shelf this week, it's one of my favorite topics because, well, let's face it, my friends do call me the diva. Maria Johnson, I'm looking at you. And this next book is called Humility Rules, St. Benedict's 12-Step Guide to Genuine Self-Esteem. Ha, maybe for divas like me. So the cover material on the back says St. Benedict's 5th century guide to humility offers the antidote to the epidemic of stress and depression overwhelming modern young adults, maybe modern middle-aged ones too, huh? But the language of the rule by St. Benedict is medieval, and its most passionate advocates are cloistered monks and nuns. How then does this ancient wisdom translate into advice for ordinary young people? So this book was written by Father Augustine Weta, who's a monk of the St. Louis Abbey. And while I haven't dove into it, one thing that's really special about this book, because it doesn't happen very much, is that this is full color. So every day has these beautiful reflections to lead us into humility, but it also includes kind of full color artwork. And it's interesting that the artwork is actually, well, I don't want to give it away, but maybe I can find something to link to. It's very humorous. And so I think when you dive into the book, you're going to agree with me that this is just something that needs to be on your shelf. So that one's called Humility Rules, St. Benedict's 12-Step Guide to Genuine Self-Esteem. And yes, on the cover, you will find a picture of Saint Benedict holding a skateboard. So great job from, I think that's Ignatius. Yes, Ignatius Press. And the last book that I have to share today is also on the topic, perhaps, of technology. It's called Tuned In, and this is from my friends Art and Lorraine Bennett, The Power of Pressing Pause and Listening. This book has been out for a couple weeks from our Sunday Visitor, but it's new to me. We've all been there at that moment when we realize we weren't really listening. Fortunately, listening is a skill we can all acquire with practice, one that has the power to transform our personal and professional relationships. So if you want your relationships transformed, and let's face it, we all do, grab Tuned In from Art and Lorraine Bennett. Again, I'll have links to all of these notes, or all these books, in our show notes, wherever you're listening to the show, especially over at lisahendy.com or breadboxmedia.com. And just as we're getting ready to get out of the show, I'm going to end with one of my favorite segments, which is, where in the world is Lisa? I still don't have a bumper for that, but maybe I will sometime soon. Where in the world am I? Well, right at this very moment, I am sitting in my office in Los Angeles, but through the power of podcast magic, by the time you listen to this, I believe that I will have already been to New Mexico. My husband and I are going to Albuquerque this weekend, and it's one of the very sort of occasional trips that we take where he's speaking and I'm not. Woohoo! So I just get to go to Albuquerque. So how cool is that? And aside from the fact that I think Breaking Bad was actually filmed there, I'm really not that much sure about what else is going on in Albuquerque. So I'm going to check it out. And so maybe on next week's show, I'll share with you what it is that I discovered in Albuquerque. But I also want to tell you about a trip that I'm taking next week. And that is that I will be flying from Los Angeles to, well, through Chicago to Peoria, Illinois, and then I'll be heading over to Metamora, Illinois. And I've got some speaking engagements next week, starting with on February 8th, I will be presenting at St. Mary of Lourdes Parish in Metamora. And my topic there is going to be, well, here's the title. It's called The Sacred Balancing Act, Busy Lives and Family Spirituality. So how do we balance like everything that's going on us in a swirl of busyness and everything that we need to accomplish for our children, positioning them to get into the best schools, making sure their workload is done with their sports and all their other activities, and most importantly, their spiritual lives. So how do we kind of keep all that together and balance? So that'll be on February 8th. At St. Mary of Lourdes Parish, and that's really open to anyone. And then I'll have a couple of school visits that are private just for the schools there, but on Saturday, February 10th, I'll be doing a day-long Grace of Yes Lenten retreat at St. Patrick's Parish in Washington, Illinois. So if you're listening to this and you live or anywhere in, let's see, Chicago or Illinois or anywhere nearby, I hope you'll come over to one of those events. You can always find out where I am by maybe following me on social media at Lisa Hendy, but definitely for my speaking calendar, go over to lisahendy.com to see where I am. And you know what? I'm always looking to come visit somebody new. So if you maybe would like to invite me, I love coming out to parishes and speaking or groups or classrooms to talk to kids. So just drop me an email, lisahendy@gmail.com, and be a part of Where in the Heck is Lisa Hendy? And so let me come see you. Let me say, I don't do windows, but I'm fine with doing dishes. So anyway, great to have those upcoming trips to look forward to. So as we end today's show, I just want to thank you for tuning in again, and thank you for your support, and encourage you to check out all the good things that we're sharing. I want you to be a part of the show, so please do consider dropping me an email or sending over some voice feedback. What do you like? What do you want to hear? Do you want the movies up front? Do you want them at the end? You want more interviews? What is it that you want? And how do you want to be a part of the show? Would it help you if I asked you a specific question each week? Let me know, because this is called And Friends for a reason. I need my friends involved. So I'm going to let you go. So it's time for us all. It's time for me to have a date with that elliptical trainer and for you to get back to whatever it is that you're procrastinating on. But please know that until we get together next time, you are in my prayers. Thanks so much for being a part of Lisa Hendy and Friends. God bless everyone. Have a great week.